So, friend, this is his Thursday night. Jesus is washing the feet of his disciples. I'd just like to give you the context of that action. Jesus is washing the feet of his disciples during the Passover meal, right? He's eating the lamb, the bitter herbs. He's eating the unleavened bread. He's having this Passover meal. He's also instituting the Lord's Supper. So they're having the Lord's Supper together. And during the Lord's Supper, during this meal, during this celebration, Christ takes a break. He pauses. He grabs his towel. He kneels down to the 12 and began to wash their feet. And they were speechless, because that's the least thing they were expecting Jesus to do to them. Washing feet, the crucifixion, how these two things come together, how are they connected? How are we going to be blessed tonight as we celebrate the Lord's death by looking at Jesus washing feet? So that's my task for tonight. My question for you is this: why does Jesus wash the disciples' feet? And why does Jesus still willing to wash our feet? That's the first thing. And I believe the passage we just read gives us the answer. It's this physical, material ceremony of washing feet only about washing feet? Or is Jesus trying to communicate something else? During the Passover meal, during the Lord's Supper, what is Jesus trying to do? Remember he said to Peter, "The things I'm doing right now, you will not understand, but afterward, you will get it." Remember that? I believe the disciples got it. Did you? I hope tonight it will be a good opportunity to do that. So, why? Why washing the feet of the disciples? The first thing, foot washing means divine hospitality. Let me just give you a brief explanation of this ritual. Washing feet is not common in every culture. If you go to Brazil, people don't wash the feet of each other. In America, nobody ever washed my feet here. But this was a common practice among the Palestinians in the first century and even before that. Remember, they didn't have asphalt or the concrete we have today. If they're going from one place to another, they have to walk wearing sandals on dusty roads, right? So as you invite someone to your house, that person will have to travel walking, wearing sandals. And I hope they would take a shower before that, and they'll come clean. They come to have fellowship with you. But along the way, they have to go through these dusty roads. So their feet are covered with sand, with dirty things that they went through along the way. So what was the practice back in the first century? The host of the party, or the host of the house, he would send his wife, or he would send a slave to wash the feet of the guests. Very common in the first century. And then Jesus is hosting this Passover meal. And now he says, "I would like to wash your feet." In the mind of the disciples, what is Jesus doing? He is humbling himself to the next level. Because the slave is supposed to do that. Not the host, not the owner of the house. And washing feet means you're completely welcome to come here. I know the travel was long, you have dust in your feet, but I want to make sure you left clean from your house and you keep clean in my house. So as a way to communicate your love, your generosity towards your guests. But that's not what Jesus was doing. He was not only doing the human level ceremony. He was doing something else. He was trying to teach something else to the disciples. that the Passover meal, that the Lord's table is a sign of hospitality. Just think with me. Jesus is the Son of the Father. The Father's house is not available to sinners. He's a holy God. But he's inviting sinners to commune with him, to have fellowship with him. But for the Father to be able to do that, he has to wash us first. And he sent his Son as a servant to wash our feet and to join us. Or better put, to join him with the Father in the fellowship they had in eternity. So this means hospitality. God is welcoming you to his fellowship. That's what washing feet means. And then you look the verses 1 through 5. That's exactly where the practice took place here. I just want to highlight here the verse 1, the end of the verse 1. John says, Christ loves his disciples to the end. What is the connection between Thursday night and Friday morning or Friday afternoon? By washing the feet of the disciples, he's doing something very humiliating. He's taking the role of the servant. He's taking the role of the slave. In the disciples' mind, they would just elbow each other and say, this guy is doing something really countercultural. He is the host. He is the most important person in the room. But he's behaving as if he was the lowest in terms of importance. That takes courage, friends. That takes humility to do that. But I ask you right now, what is that in comparison to dying on the cross for them? It's just an appetizer, right? By washing their feet, Jesus is communicating what true love from the Father really is the humble love that humiliates himself, that takes the shame, that takes all the eyes of reprobation, that takes all. You don't do that. You don't humiliate yourself that way. Peter said, you never wash my feet. That's the reaction of the disciples. Because Jesus was doing something outrageous for the culture. But that's, friends, that's not even close to what he did the next day. Giving his own life to his disciples. So the washing of feet is just a small fraction of Christ's humiliation for the sake of his people. Washing the feet is another example, is another illustration of the big news of the gospel, of the big story of the scriptures. God is willing to save sinners. That's the message of washing feet. God is willing. He wants, he desires to wash away our sins and forgive us. So washing feet, friends, I hope this message, this imagery will stick in your mind. God welcomes you. God is open, has open arms towards you. He's inviting you to his table. And he's done what nobody else could do. He's humiliating himself to wash you. So, and then we listen to this message and we go, wow, how God is gracious, how God is loving, how God is phenomenal. And then another question is, now, does that mean God will welcome everyone, every time, in all circumstances? Does that mean all will be saved at the end? Because if God is this hospitable being that welcomes sinners and humiliates himself, we'll all be saved at the end. Does that mean that no matter how hard you try to sin, God's got you? That's the message. Of course not. And why do we know this is not the case? Because Judas is having dinner with Jesus. And Jesus clearly says he's not part of the team. He's not part of the chosen ones. And after this, he will go ahead and betray me. Next day, the crucifixion will come because the devil will possess them in order to betray me. So friends, what I'm trying to say, God is welcoming. Washing feet means hospitality. But this is not for everyone. It's only for the humble. It's only for the repentant. It's only for those who respond to the invitation of this gracious God with a humble heart. Let's see a verse. That's the verse James quotes from the Proverbs of Solomon. Let's read it together, friends. 1, 2, 3. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Pay attention to the last sentence. He gives grace. So what I'm trying to say is, God's invitation through the proclamation of the gospel is for everyone. But to welcome them into his fellowship is not for everyone. It's only for those who openly surrender their hearts in humility to the Savior. That's why God's proclamation, the proclamation of the gospel, is extended to the whole world. But only a fraction of human beings are being saved because they're the only ones receiving grace because they're responding to the gospel with humility. And friends, don't get me wrong. Even the humility of a human heart comes from the Holy Spirit. It's all a gift. But God is teaching us a lesson. There'll be many in the community. They probably participate in the Lord's Supper. They'll probably be washed externally, but they're part of the group. And here's the trick, humility. This is the true trait of a Christian, is to humble yourself. So I ask you, does God welcome everyone? He invites everyone, but he welcomes, he gives grace to the humble. But what about the church? We know what's going on in America, right? We know what's going on all over the world. How many false prophets, how many false churches, how many false religions are spreading all over the world? They all claim to be God's servants, right? So the question is, should the Christian community be always welcoming? We invite everyone from all races, from all generations. But there's one thing, friends. The table of the Lord is for the humble. And that's what we're going to talk about during the supper. Not everyone is invited to the table, but only the humble, only the repentant. Paul says to Titus, his disciple, let's read this together. 1, 2, 3. As for a person who stirs up division after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he's self-condemned. This is Judas. This is Demas. You can name how many the Apostle Paul had to deal in his ministry. God is welcoming. God is hospitable. The table is a proof. The washing of feet is a proof. But he will oppose the proud. He will oppose the prideful. He extends his grace to the humble. But there's more. Why washing feet is a big deal for Jesus, is a big deal for us. And I love that part. If you keep reading, this is verse 6 through 11. Washing feet in this passage points to the Lord's table, points to the Lord's Supper that we're going to celebrate shortly. Foot washing means covenant renewal. Look at the conversation Peter is having with Jesus. So verse 6, I'm going to read it again. Jesus came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? As if he was saying, are you getting crazy? This is the job of the servant. This is the job of the wife. This is the job of the lowest in the house. And Jesus answered, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. In Greek, this sounds like one of the Ten Commandments. You shall never That's what Peter is saying. Not in a million years I'm going to allow you to do that. Look how stubborn. Look how strong. You shall never wash my feet. But I love Jesus' answer. Just stick with me. Look at the answer. Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." What is Jesus saying? If you do not allow me to kneel down, grab your dirty feet and put water and wash through all your fingers, if you don't allow me to go to that lowest level, stand up and get out of here. You have no share with me. You're not ready to become one of my disciples. If you're not ready for the creator of the universe kneel down and serve you, if you're not ready for this big gospel of grace, then it's all about you, right? It's all about you, how worthy you are. No share with me, Peter. Not ready. In order to receive this big gospel from this great God, but he comes washing feet, you need to let Jesus touch your dusty feet and wash it all out. No share with me. If you don't allow me to do that. And now, and this is what I love about Peter, right? He was intense in all his answers. And after Jesus said that blunt statement, "You have no share with me if you don't allow me to do that," look at Peter's words. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." What is he trying to say? If I can't stay with you anymore, that's death to me. That's like being cut off from life. Wash my feet, wash my body, wash my soul, wash everything. Immerse me. Wash me all over. Look how the change happened here real quick. Jesus just had to say one sentence. "If you not allow me to wash your feet, you have no fellowship with me." And Peter reacts, "No, okay, that's the deal. I abide. I will comply. Where do I sign? Wash me everything." But Jesus said something very, very important and relevant. He said, "The one," verse 10, "the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." What is this Jesus saying? Peter, I don't need to wash your head. I don't need to wash your body because you are clean already. I just need to wash your feet. And again, did Peter understand that? The only thing he understood was, I want to be all in, right? If that's what it takes, wash me. Jesus simply said, "I just need to wash your feet." You won't understand that now, but afterward you will. And I hope we will understand that because Jesus was referring to the sacraments here, baptism and Lord's Supper. The church fathers got that afterward, and the apostles too. You're clean already. You've been washed from your sins through the blood of Christ. And baptism represents that. The Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, we're not washing you again. We're just maintaining the washing that you received already. Tracking with me? The Lord's Supper is how you renew something that happened. As we look at the fountain here, the baptism sink, you go here. You remember the water, right? I was washed. I was clean. The Lord's Supper is not a promise that you'll be regenerated again. It's not the promise that, oh, he will make you new every time. No, it's a covenant renewal. You came here washed, but there's still some dirt in your feet. The Lord's Supper exists for that, to nourish you in this walk of life. You're going through dusty roads every day, right? The Lord's table is Jesus reassuring you, you have been washed. Let's continue in this clean state. Let's maintain your faith. Let's nourish what we accomplished already. So in Reformed, the creeds and confessions, we use the term baptism as the initiation of the covenant. Baptism is when the covenant starts. God has a covenant with someone. How does that look like? Through baptism. Is the covenant initiation. What about the Lord's Supper? Is the covenant renewal. As we come to the table, what we are saying is, I'm still in the game. I'm still in the family. I'm clean. I was born again. And my Lord keeps inviting me to fellowship with Him. He keeps inviting me, hey, let me wash your feet again. Hey, Brad, come here, let me wash your feet again. Hey, Gord, let me wash your feet again. Every Lord's table is an invitation from Christ. Because we come, right? We come like Peter. Oh, I want to go to First Byron. I'm going to worship. Oh, Lord, wash my head, wash my body. No. Just the feet. You're washed already. Let me use an illustration. Some years ago, a couple was really confused because they were attending a different church. They are not Reformed, and they rebaptized people that were baptized, right? And they got rebaptized eventually, and they were asking my opinion if what they did was right or wrong. Pastor John, we were baptized when we were babies, but you know what? We became Christians only many, many years later. So that didn't mean anything to us. When we got to that church was when we got committed to Christ. So we decided, okay, let's go and get rebaptized. Did we do that right? Do that wrong? They were really confused. And here's my answer. We're broken people, right? And sometimes we make poor decisions. But let me tell you something. If you want to recommit to the Lord, you don't need baptism. If you really want to recommit to the Lord, what do you need? The table. Otherwise, how many times are you going to get baptized? Oh, you know what? I'm feeling so poor in my faith. I'm going to get baptized again. Because how many conversions do you have in your journey? Like you're feeling down, you're feeling, my faith is not that good. Maybe I'm not saved. So you go ahead and get baptized. And then 3 years later, you're going through the same valley. Faith looks so shrunk in your heart. You know, I think I'm not saved, so I'm going to get rebaptized. How many times are you going to do that in your life? It's not about being baptized again. It's about having your feet washed again. That's the point. If you want to recommit to the Lord, you don't need covenant initiation. You need covenant renewal. Tracking with me? If you want to recommit to the Lord, you don't need covenant initiation. You need covenant renewal. And unfortunately, many people are just messing big time with this principle. We need the table, not the shower. Peter is saying, wash me, Jesus. No, you're clean already, my friend. Just the feet. So that's what the washing feet represents, covenant renewal. So I ask this question for you. Are you ready tonight for covenant renewal? Are you ready? Are you ready to say to the Lord, Jesus, wash my feet again? My journey has been so dirty, but I know I'm washed. I know I'm clean. I know the gospel of your Son saved me, oh Father. Just come down again and take all the dust from my fingers. That's what you should say. But the last, Jesus didn't end his conversations with the disciples there. From verse 12 all the way to the end, he gives them a task. He gives them a commandment. He says, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. What is the task? So, the first two, washing feet represents a mean divine hospitality, the attitude of God toward the world. Come, all you who are heavy laden, all you who are burdened, come to me. Some will come, some will not. But God is hospitable. You can't blame him otherwise. Second, once you're in, there's ways to renew your commitment to Christ. Not through baptism, through the supper. And the third is, washing feet also mean another thing. Washing feet means we have an attitude, we have a task to resemble our Lord in his servant spirit in everything we do, in everything, in everything, in everybody, in every interaction we have with other people. That's the attitude. Humble love. Washing feet. You think you're superior? Look what I have done to you. You call me Lord and teacher, right? And you're right. I am. But I washed your feet. What does that mean, friends? You go and do the same thing because you're on the same level. If I am superior and did that to you, what about you? They're not superior to anybody. You're just equals. Go and live the same. Go and live a life of love. Go and humiliate yourself if you need. Go and love and wash one another's feet. This is the tough part, right? Because point one and point two, they are here. They are here. What we hear from the Lord, his love for us, and his invitation to come to the table. Now, the problem is here. It's how we practice it. What Jesus is saying to us, if you know the gospel, if you're washed by the waters of baptism, and if your feet are washed through the supper, then put your hands and your feet to work in the world, in the way I did. Loving. Being a servant. So I'd just like to close this sermon by encouraging you. Have the attitude of the servant, not the attitude of the consumer. The church today is characterized by the attitude or the posture of consumerism. We decide to which church we're going to attend, to which church we're going to become a member based on the question, what can I get from them? Isn't that true? Do they have nursery? Do they have good preaching? Do they have good care? Will they give me help with tuition for my Christian education? People ask that question. The question is, how can I serve that church? How can I surrender my gifts and offer myself to that church? How can I pour on people's lives, my time, my gifts, my money, my joy, my encouragement, my talents, the things that God has given to me, how can I pour, how can I serve this community? That should be the driving force of any church attendee, the driving mentality. How can I serve? Does the church need volunteers? There's any ministry short-staffed? Put my name down. Men's Discipleship Group, Women Ministry, Bible Studies. Sound booth. Oh, we need more elders? I think I'm ready. Call me in. The servant mindset. Washing each other's feet. There's no superiority amongst us. We're all servants. So friends, ask these questions. How can I serve the poor? How can I serve my community? How can I serve the youth of my church? You know what? I'm not a youth leader. It's not in my job description. Always comes with these excuses. How can I serve even those who go beyond my responsibility? How can I serve the ladies, the 100-year-old ladies of this church, those who don't attend anymore because they don't have capacity to walk? How can I go visit those who are sick? How can I go to the hospital? How can I serve the funerals? How many of us come to the funerals? The servant attitude. May I help disciple others? Is there any sick in the church? May I visit them? Is there any in the prison? May I go visit the prisoners? May I help painting your house? We need some painting right now. Just kidding. May I help do some landscaping? May I help offer you dinner sometime? I can take care of your animals when you're, you know, on vacation. Whatever it is, offer, serve, wash the feet of God's people. So friends, we close with this question. Why does Jesus wash our feet? And I hope we'll go home with clear answers. Jesus washes our feet so we may wash one another's.